That would have stopped all of the plagues of Egypt. And do you know where these plagues are headed? This is the second plague only. There are 10 of them. So there's 8 more after this. You know what the last one is? The death of the firstborn. Every firstborn child, every firstborn calf, every firstborn donkey, whatever, throughout all of Egypt is going to die in a night. Can you imagine the sorrow of that nation when the firstborn in every family, when I say firstborn, please understand, I'm not necessarily talking about little babies. I am the firstborn in my family. How many of you this morning are firstborn? Oh, a good fourth of the crowd. See, you would have been included. He didn't say the firstborn baby. He said the firstborn in every family is going to die this night. Simple thing, let my people go. I want you to have the joy of victory. Let my people go. Remember, sin and Satan will never let you go voluntarily. Did you know? There's a verse I just love in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22. I don't know what your translation will say. Some say cords, but mine says ropes. The rope of sins. Sin is a rope that ties you up. And boy, you need God to cut the rope. You need God to cut the rope. Even when Pharaoh pretended to surrender, he was only trying to stall God. Have you ever tried to make deals with God? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever tried to make a deal with God? We all try it, don't we, from time to time. God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. No, you don't make deals with God. Okay, you just obey God. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. God just wants obedience. He just wants us to do what he asks us to do, and he's never asked me to do anything that is harmful to me. Never has. He's asked me to do some things that scare me. He's asked me to do some things that cost me. He's asked me to do some things that I wasn't sure I could do. However, God's not stupid. If he asks me to do it, I can do it. See, because whatever God asks for, God enables so that we can do it. We just need to do it. Let me give you a story here of delay, and then I'm finishing up. This is the last point this morning, and you don't necessarily need to turn there. You can if you want to. But in 2 Kings chapter 20, beginning in verse number 9, there's a very unusual story about one of the most unusual miracles in all the Bible. I find this more unusual than the parting of the sea. I really do. Where God literally sent the shadow on a sundial back 10 degrees. Folks, you can't do that. You cannot do that. You realize what would happen to this earth? It would have to literally spin backwards. And yet God did it. God did it. And held everybody on it while he did it. That's an unbelievable miracle. And God did all of that as reassurance to a man by the name of Hezekiah, a king, who was really, Isaiah was the prophet in that day and age, and Isaiah and Hezekiah were friends because Hezekiah was a godly man. He had been serving God, but he suddenly got a fatal disease, and he just began to act like a little baby, turned his face to the wall, began to cry, and said, God can't do this to me. You've got to heal me. I've got to be made well. And begged and begged and pleaded and cried until Isaiah said, Okay, God will heal you. He said, well, how do I know he'll heal me? God said, I'm going to turn the sundial back 10 degrees. Boy, that convinced him. And he said, I'm going to give you 15 more years to live. 15 more years to live. But listen to me now. In that 15 years, he had a baby. A boy by the name of Manasseh. who became king at the age of 12 and turned out to be one of the wickedest kings Israel had ever known. Had Hezekiah let God's will be done, had he gone ahead and gone to heaven, because listen to me, folks, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, when you die, you're going to heaven. Why get so uptight about it? Boy, we hang on to life, don't we? I'd rather hang on to eternity. But Hezekiah, by living that extra 15 years, two things went wrong, actually. He had this son who turned out to be a horribly wicked king, and he also allowed the Babylonians to come in and just literally rape Israel and Jerusalem and took all of the treasures of the temple away. If he hadn't have lived that 15 years, it wouldn't have happened. True story. No one I know, just simply a true story. A woman was told that her son was going to die. The doctors came out running a high fever, going into spasms. They could do nothing about it. And the doctor came out and said, "I'm sorry, but your boy's going to die." And they said you could hear her screaming all over the hospital, "God, you cannot kill my boy. This is the only boy I've got. If you kill my boy," he was 12 years old at the time, "if you kill my son, I will never darken the doors of a church again. I will never pray again. I'll never open the Bible again. And I'll tell everybody I see the rest of my life what a sorry God you are." And as she's screaming and screaming at God these threats, the doctor walked out again and he said, "Ma'am, you can stop. The fever just broke." And the boy lived so that he could be executed on his 21st birthday as a mass murderer. You say, "But I want my kids to live." I understand that. But you've got to understand beyond all of that, that God is always right. And I'll guarantee you the agony of seeing that son executed for murder was greater than it would have ever been had he died at 12. What does God want you to do? Let me ask you a question. Simple question. Do you have any frogs in your life? Do you have any frogs in your life? I meant to bring frogs, but I didn't have enough, so I didn't want to leave anybody out. I've got little plastic frogs that I passed out once before when I preached this sermon, and asked everybody to take a frog home and put it in their pocket, and every time they were tempted to sin, just reach in their pocket and take out that frog. Do you have any frogs? If you have any frogs in your life today, you need to get rid of them. You need to get rid of them. Obedience is the key to it all. God's looking for people who will follow him. God needs no fans. God doesn't need a cheering section. God simply needs followers who will obey him, whatever he says to do. Hard message, I understand that. I thought as God led me to preach this morning, I thought, "Lord, now are you sure about this? Because I just started working there. I'm trying to make friends. I'm trying to be a good associate. And you want me to get up and fuss at all these folks and tell them how horrible they are?" And God said, "Preach what I told you to." So I'm doing it. But do you have any frogs? We're going to give you a chance to get rid of them in just a minute. Won't you stand with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about. Maybe this morning, and please do not look around. Please do not. This is a very private time and a very private matter, but maybe you're here this morning and there is something in your life that God has spoken to you about, something that God has said to you, "I want you to get rid of that." Please do not tell God, "Okay, God, I'll take care of it tomorrow." You may not have tomorrow. How many of you here this morning have got something God's talked to you about, and you'd say, "Preacher, not my name. There's a lot of y'all wouldn't even know your name this morning, and I certainly would never embarrass you, never point you out in any way. I don't operate like that. But I do want to pray for you, and I want to ask you to do something this morning, and that's basically to acknowledge that you heard God. Not that you heard me. I'm hard not to hear. But you heard God this morning. And God said to you, I want you to get this thing out of your life. Oh, you got a frog in your life, and you need to get rid of it. And you need to do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow might be too late. How many of you this morning, knowing, looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed, would just slip your hand up and say, Preacher, as you pray, pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, many of you. Thank you. Got a frog in my life, Lord, and I don't want him. Don't want him there. It's not where he belongs. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for our time together this morning. And Lord, we live in a society now where sin runs so rampant. And we face it on every front continually. And we're just human, Lord. You made us. You know how human we are, how weak we often are. And Lord, first of all, I pray especially for those who raised a hand a moment ago. Give them the courage, Lord, to get that frog, whatever it is. Might not be sin. Lord, it doesn't have to be sin. Just some act of disobedience. Pray, Lord, that they would deal with that thing today. Give them the grace, the power, the strength to do it. And then, Lord, perhaps there were others who wanted to raise a hand, but we're always afraid somebody might know. And, Lord, you already know. So you're the only one that matters anyway. So I pray for each one of us here today, starting right here at the pulpit. Lord, help us to be willing to obey you. Whatever, Lord, just to obey you. Because that's what is pleasing to you. That's what your son did there on the cross. He obeyed. And what a price he paid. Help us to be willing to obey. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me share this as we begin to sing here in a moment. The first act of obedience is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, I'm sorry, I love you, but if you die today, you're going to go straight to hell for eternity. You say, boy, that's mean. No, it's not mean. In fact, it's loving to tell you that, because some other preacher might not. I know Brother Lanny would, but you need to take care of that today. Right now, don't let this moment pass. If there's something in your life that you need to come and deal with, you know, you don't have to come down here. Sometimes sometimes it's a strengthening thing to just come and kneel or just pray where you're at. It doesn't matter. It's between you and the Lord. Okay, you deal with it between you and Him. It doesn't involve me in a sense. It's you and the Lord. Take care of it. As we sing this morning, would you right now?